You know, I love this church. This sanctuary is beautiful. Now, I know that the church, in quotes, is not a building, but it's all the people, the believers who make up the body of Christ. But that doesn't mean that we can't appreciate the sanctuary as a place that we can gather and worship the Lord. The rest of the facilities, the fellowship hall, the higher grounds, the nursery upstairs, and the quiet room downstairs, all of these are things that allow us as a church to fellowship, have meals together, serve the community. So yes, I do love this church. But speaking of the people, I love all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. From John 13, 34 through 35, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And this command was so important to Jesus that later in chapter 15 of John's Gospel, verse 12, he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And this verse is also important to me that you understand it as I continue on with this message. Another thing I love about this church is serving Christ alongside each and every one of you and the fellowship that accompanies that. But you know what I love most about this church? This church preaches and teaches the truth found only in God's Word. And I was going to say that, Kent. Amen? Amen, brother. It's not, and it's all of God's Word. It's the Old Testament law which shows us our sin and our need for salvation that comes only through faith in Jesus Christ alone, which is delivered through the Gospels of the New Testament. And alongside with the Old Testament history and the prophets and the New Testament letters delivered to all the believers. Yes, indeed, we preach all of God's Word here. The truth that God is love, 1 John 4:16. But also that He is a righteous God of judgment. From 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This church preaches Christ crucified, 1 Corinthians 1:23, and Christ resurrected from 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This church preaches that we were all created in God's image, created male and female, Genesis 1:27. And from Genesis 2:24, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. This church believes in the sanctity of marriage. Marriage that is between one man and one woman. And this church believes in the sanctity of life. And we support and pray for those who are in this battle and are fighting for the lives, to save the lives of the unborn babies. Indeed, this church is filled with the Holy Spirit. And all biblical truths are under attack today in this rapidly changing environment and culture that we live in. Not only are these biblical principles under attack, But those who believe in and adhere to them are under attack as well. And that, brothers and sisters, is what I want to speak about today. We have an advocate in Jesus, but an adversary in Satan. Yes, Jesus is our friend, but the devil is our enemy. So first, we need to know that we're in a spiritual battle. There's a war being waged for our souls, for the souls of our families, our friends, our co-workers. And just because we're believers in Jesus Christ, saved by grace, co-heirs with Him as children of God, doesn't mean that we aren't going to be subject to the attacks of Satan. The name Satan literally means adversary. And in this war, Satan is our enemy. As was read earlier from Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yes, the ruler of this dark world is Satan. So when we find ourselves in a conflict or an argument, whatever the case may be, our battle isn't with a family member, a co-worker, a neighbor, or even a fellow Christian. We need to be able to recognize spiritual warfare when we see it. It's the scheme of the devil. Satan wants division and discord in all of our relationships. And as I shared earlier in the message from John 13, we cannot carry out Jesus' command to love one another if we allow Satan to cause strife and disharmony amongst the body of believers, and especially in our church. We need to remember this. The devil hates God, and he hates those, that's us, who love God and want to seek Him with all our heart. Next, we need to know our enemy. Who is Satan? How does he operate? What are his tactics? In Genesis 3, Eve encounters Satan in the Garden of Eden, and he appears in the form of the serpent and is described as the most crafty of all the beasts of the field. That's from Genesis 3:1. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, he sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan. Now, Eve doesn't realize that she's in a spiritual battle. And why would she? She's living in paradise, fellowshipping with the one true God. There is no pain, no suffering, no sorrow, no death. But God has given Adam and Eve and us free will. Satan begins his attack by planting seeds of doubt in her mind as to what God actually told Adam about eating fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan then suggests to Eve that God doesn't want them to eat the forbidden fruit because he knows that then she and Adam would be just like God, knowing good and evil. Now the irony there is, as we learned in Genesis 1:27, we were all created in the image of God. So they were in fact like God, as we are, because we are created in His image. But Satan had succeeded in deceiving Eve. She ate the fruit. She offered it to Adam, and he too ate it. And that's what Satan does to us. He plants seeds of doubt in our mind. He uses deception, causes discord and division. Scripture tells us in John 8:44, middle of the verse, Jesus speaking here, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. And from 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Satan is always looking to destroy us, our families, our community, and especially our church. We need to know our enemy. And when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness just prior to the start of his 3.5-year ministry, he, like Eve, encountered Satan. At this point, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He was exhausted. He was hungry. Now, even though Jesus is God, he had to experience all the things that we go through here on earth in order for him to be the perfect sacrifice, the perfect atonement for sinful mankind. Hunger, thirst, pain, sorrow, and suffering. And in this case, temptation from the devil. Turn these stones into bread. Jump from the top of the tallest temple. God's angels will save you. Bow down and worship me. I will give you all these kingdoms. Jesus responded to each temptation, quoting Scripture. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And if we notice in this passage, when does Satan attack Jesus? That's right, when he is tired, hungry, at his weakest, most vulnerable moment. And guess what? That's when the devil comes after us too. At our weakest, most vulnerable moments. Satan, deceiver, tempter, distractor, accuser, father of all lies. That's who Satan is. So we know we're in a spiritual battle. We know our enemy, the devil, who he is, and what he does. Finally, we need to know victory in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, perhaps listening to this message on the radio or watching this morning's service online, and are not sure where you stand with Jesus or know your eternal destination, please pray this prayer with me. And you need to know that Satan doesn't want you to seek God. He might be telling you that you're not worthy of God's love. You don't deserve forgiveness from God. But that's not true. Again, Satan is the father of all lies. Your heavenly Father waits for you with open arms, wanting to welcome you into his presence. So pray this prayer with me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, And unless you save me, I will be lost forever. I believe Jesus is the true Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins and is resurrected. Please come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you can know that you've been saved, you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, without Jesus, we cannot gain victory in our war with Satan. And we need to know that our victory over the devil is only possible through Jesus Christ. God is a faithful God and does not send us into this battle unarmed. He has given us all the spiritual weapons that we need to gain this victory. Again, from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, we have the belt of truth. And I spoke earlier about the truth of God's word being preached here in this church, and we need to live that out in our lives. We have the breastplate of righteousness, not a righteousness of our own, but righteousness that's Christ's righteousness. We have feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Kevin shared this as well earlier from Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the shield of faith from 1 Peter 5:9. Resist him. This is referring to the devil from 1 Peter 5:8, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. We have the helmet of salvation. As was mentioned earlier, this salvation that comes only through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we need to pray. Oftentimes I feel, or sometimes at least, we underestimate or we don't value the power of prayer. It almost seems like in this passage, and it's not the case, but it seems like, as it's mentioned in the end, that it has less importance than the rest of the weapons in spiritual warfare, but it's just as important. And the power of praying as individuals and the power of prayer as a corporate church, there's many praises and testimonies about how prayer has brought people through many difficult times. So yes, we need to pray. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And finally, from 1 John 3:8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray. Lord, we're so thankful for you, for your saving grace, for your mercy. Lord, this morning I just pray that the words I spoke today were your words. And I pray that they were delivered in a manner that people could understand. Help us, Lord, as we look to your word, that you would give us your wisdom and your knowledge. Give us your discernment. Help us, Lord, in this battle with Satan. Help us to apply your word to our lives. And Lord, this morning we just thank you for all the blessings to each of us and to this church. Amen.